Toddsville Grace Church would like to invite you to listen to a sermon by our pastor, Todd Nyberg. We are located at 4137 Todd's Road, 2 miles outside of Manowar Boulevard. Sunday services are at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Bible study is at 9:45 a.m. Wednesday services are at 7 p.m. Nursery is provided for all services. For more information, visit our website at toddsroadgracechurch.com. Now here's our pastor, Todd Nyberg.
Before I read my text, it's found in Romans chapter 2, verse 1. I want to bring a message on a message to man. But before I read the text, let me say something about what's going on right now, this coronavirus. God sent the coronavirus. There are secondary causes, tertiary causes, I realize that, but God is sovereign. He is in control of everything. He said in Isaiah 45, verse 7, I form the light, I create darkness, I make peace, I create evil, I, the Lord, do all these things. And that's why I am at rest. I want to be careful, but He's the one that sent this. Now, the second thing I'd like to say is, this is not God's judgment upon the world. Now, God is holy, and you and I deserve to be punished everlastingly by Him. But God's judgment is in hell. It's not on earth. If you hear preachers try to scare people with this news of this coronavirus, it's foolishness. God is in control of this. I don't know what all His purpose is, but He knows. And this is not God's judgment against certain sins. And any time a preacher presents himself like that, it's almost like he's exempt from that judgment. Listen, I deserve God's judgment, and so do you. But judgment takes place in hell, not here on earth. And thirdly, with regard to this coronavirus that God has sent us, may we all be enabled to be like the Good Samaritan and help in any way we can. And that is my take on this, and I hope that's helpful. Now, I'd like to read Romans chapter 2, verse 1, where Paul says, therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doest the same things. A message to man. Now, sometimes in the Scriptures, the believer is addressed. Sometimes the unbeliever is addressed. But all the time, man is addressed. This is a message to men in general and each individual man in particular. The Lord Jesus said in Proverbs chapter 8, verse 4, unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. That is me. And that is you, a message to man. Now, I have 3 points to this message. The first point is man. The second point is the man. And the third point is two men. T-W-O, the number, two men. The first point is man. Man. God said, let us make man in our own image. Now, what all that means, I do not know, but it's very important. That is why man is special. He is the crown of God's creation, made in the very image of God. That's why every life is precious. That's why every life is important, because man was made in the image of God. God created man upright. But something happened to man. He became dead in sins. Now, how did that happen? Well, how long was man walking in fellowship with God in the Garden of Eden? We do not know, but man fell from that position of uprightness when he ate of the forbidden fruit. God said in Genesis chapter 2, verse 15 or verse 17, "In the day you eat thereof, you shall surely die." God didn't say, "If you eat, you'll die." He said, "In the day you eat, you shall surely die." Now, this fall did not take God by surprise, nor did it alter His purpose. He didn't have a plan B. He didn't have to have one. He didn't have a contingency plan. This didn't mess things up, and He had to try something else. This was all according to God's purpose, to glorify Himself and to place man in a better place than he would have been had this never taken place. This was so, as Revelation 13:8, "The Lamb slain from the foundation of the world." Now, did you hear that? Before creation, when all there was God, Christ Jesus, the second person of the Godhead, is called the Lamb having been slain from the very foundation of the world. This has always been God's purpose. This has always been His only purpose, to manifest who He is through the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. This universe was created so the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world could come in time and be the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. The purpose of the fall. Somebody says, "Are you saying God purposed the fall?" I'm absolutely saying it. And I don't understand all the ramifications behind that. I realize that. But I know that whatever happens, God is the cause. Just like I said, the coronavirus, God is the cause. Well, God's the cause of all things. That's who He is. He's completely sovereign over every event, even the thoughts that are going through your mind. He is God. And He purposed the fall so the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world could come and accomplish His purposes, put away the sins of His people, and in Christ coming to be crucified and to die, the hour that He came for, how God is glorified, how God is made known. We find out who God is and all of His attributes from the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. But man ate in disobedience to God's command and became dead in sins. Now, he didn't die physically. He didn't die eternally. But he did die spiritually that very day. The moment he ate of the fruit, he became dead, spiritually dead. He was unable to perform the acts of spiritual life because his spirit died. He became spiritually dead. And we read in Genesis chapter 3:24 that he drove out the man from the garden. And do you know that you and I were all in him when this took place? We were in his loins, his descendants, so that what he did, we did. It's not simply that what he did was charged to our account. When he sinned, I sinned. When he disobeyed God, I disobeyed God. For by one man sin entered the world. This is what Romans 5:12 says. For by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So that death passed upon all men, in that all have sinned. Now here is what this looks like, this spiritual death. I'm going to read several scriptures. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, "And God saw." Now, let's hold on for a second. What God sees is the way it really is. What you and I see is not necessarily the way it really is. We're flawed individuals. We can't see things as we should, but God does. "And God saw that the wickedness of man..." Remember, this is a message to man. "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Now, when God looks in my heart, in your heart, what we are by nature, He sees that every imagination of the thoughts of our heart is only evil continually. This is God's testimony. David said in Psalm 62, verse 9, "Surely men of low degree are vanity, and men of high degree are a lie. To be laid in the balance, they are altogether lighter than vanity." Job chapter 15, verses 14 through 16, "What is man that he should be clean? And he that's born of woman, that he should be righteous. Behold, he putteth no trust in his saints. Yea, the heavens are not clean in his sight. How much more abominable and filthy is man who drinketh iniquity like water." Now here is how bad it is, and this is the verse of Scripture that actually inspired this message. When Paul says that Scripture I initially read in Romans chapter 2, verse 1, "Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man." This is talking about every man. Whoever you are, whatever your condition is, "thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you that judge do." Present, active, right now, you do the same things. Whatever you're judging somebody else for, you're guilty of doing right now, present tense, the exact same thing. Now somebody is thinking, "No, I'm not." Well, God says you are. And am I supposed to believe God or you? Let God be true and every man a liar. That's what the Scripture says in Romans chapter 3, verse 4. Now, I want us to examine the context of this statement. In Romans chapter 1, verse 28, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient." They didn't like what they heard about God, and God said, "Okay, have it your way." He gave them over to a reprobate mind. And here's what happened as a result. "Being filled." That means there's nothing but this. This description of these particular people. "Being filled with these things." Plumb to the top. Nothing else. "Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, sexual sin, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, gossips, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God that they which commit such things are worthy of death." You know that too, don't you? These people that I've just described, these people are worthy of death. They are worthy of the wrath of God. But these people not only know that such things, commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but they have pleasure in them to do them. They find pleasure in seeing someone else commit these sins. How base. Now look what he says next. "Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, you condemn yourself. For you that judge, do the same things." Everything you're judging somebody for, you're guilty of doing it yourself. Now, God is utterly clear with whatever charge He brings against me or you. You are, and this is talking about me too, "Thou art inexcusable, O man." You see, the Scripture says there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understands. There's none that seeketh after God. They've all gone out of the way. They've together become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good. No, not one. And it's this bad. The Lord said in John chapter 6, verse 44, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. Our sinfulness is such that we can't come to Christ because we will not come to Christ. And the reason we will not is because we cannot. The reason we cannot is because we will not. That is the desperate wickedness of the natural man. I'm so sinful that if God leaves me to myself, I'll be damned. That's what that means. And somebody says, well, how could God hold us responsible to do something that we cannot do? Well, He does. Nay, but, O man, who are you to reply against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel to honor and another unto dishonor? Now, you and I are in no position to sit in judgment on God and say, well, we don't agree with this. He's God. Whatever He does is right, and it would be far more wise for you or I to take the place of being condemned before His law. Romans 3:19 says, we know that whatsoever things the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world stand guilty before God. Man, oh man, have you ever had your mouth stopped? You stood guilty. No justification. No vindication. You're no victim. Your sin is all your fault. And you stand guilty before God. Now I want to speak of the man. The man. The man brought by Pilate before a jeering and bloodthirsty mob, beaten beyond recognition, with a crown of thorns on his head and a purple robe, making fun of his kingship. And Pilate brought him before the jeering crowd and said, behold the man. Now his disciples had earlier said, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and the seas obey him? The weather was obedient to his command. What manner of man is this? The God-man, the man Christ Jesus. There's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. God became man. The God-man. He didn't cease being God, but He became man. And He came for the purpose of going to the cross. He kept referring to, mine hour is not yet come, and then my hour is come. Now, the Lord said, the Son of Man, and I love the way that the title He gave to Himself most often was the Son of Man. The Son of Man came not to be ministered to, but to minister and to give His life a ransom for many. You see, that's exactly what Calvary's tree was. It was a ransom, a sin payment. You see, for God to do something for me or you, He first had to do something for Himself. He had to make a way that He could be just and His law be honored and He punish all sin and yet find a way to justify somebody unjust like me or you. Oh, that's why Christ came, to be a ransom payment, to make the way for God to be just and justify the ungodly. Listen to this scripture from Hebrews chapter 10. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. Somebody says, why did He sit down? Because He completed the work. There's nothing left to do. He came to save His people from their sins, And that's exactly what he did. When he said, "It is finished," they were saved from their sins, and he sat down. Nothing left to do from henceforth, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Now, did you hear that? What did the Lord Jesus Christ do? He perfected forever everybody that he died for. Everybody set apart by his Father in eternal election. Everybody he died for, sanctified. He perfected them forever. Hebrews 1:3 says, when he had by himself purged our sins, made them not to be, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Now, there were people who listened to him preach, and the Pharisees despised him over in John chapter 7, and they sent some men to arrest him. And these men returned, and they didn't have him. And they said, "Why didn't you bring him?" And they said, "Never man spake like this man." Well, what did he say? Well, they heard him say, "If any man thirst, let him come to me and drink." If any man thirst. There's a message to any man. Now, you're thirsty when you have something that you can't fulfill. If I'm thirsty, there's nothing about me that can satisfy that thirst. It's got to come completely outside of me. And the only one who can satisfy this thirst is the Lord Jesus Christ. If any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. He said, "I am the door. I am the way of entrance to God. I am the way to the Father. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved." This is the man. The man said this in John chapter 14, verse 6. I love this verse of Scripture. I wish I could preach on it the way I ought to. But he said, "I am the way." He's the way to the Father. He didn't say, "I'll show you the way." "I am the way." He said, "I am the truth." Not, "I'll tell you the truth or teach you the truth." "I'm it." He said, "I am the life." Don't you dare try to present anything about your life to the Father. His life is the only life that the Father accepts. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." The man, Christ Jesus, the way a man can be brought into God's presence. And I want to close with this thought of two men. And I'm going to read about the two representative men I'm going to be describing. You, I'm going to be describing myself, were one of these two men. In Luke chapter 18, beginning in verse 9, we read, "And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, the other a publican." Now, these are the two representative men. These two men represent, one of these two men represent you. You're either a Pharisee, I'm either a Pharisee, or we are a publican. A publican was a sinful, despised tax collector employed by the Roman government, and he was looked down upon by everybody. Now, let's read verse 11. "The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself." Now, he thought he was praying to God, but he wasn't. He was praying thus with himself. "God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are. Extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess." Now, he gives God the credit. "God, I thank thee." But what was he thanking God for? For the things he didn't do and for the things he did do. He was thinking about his own personal life. "Look at my life. Look what sins I don't commit. Look what good things I do. Maybe I was formerly bad, but not now. I've got a changed life. I've got a righteous life. Look at my life, and I'm giving you the credit for it. I thank you." That is the Pharisee. Now, if you see any righteousness in yourself at all, you are a Pharisee. You are someone who trusts yourself that you're righteous, and you make comparisons with other people. You can always find somebody that doesn't quite meet your standards that you're better than, and you despise others. You look down on your nose at others. You judge others. Verse 13, and the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. That's all he claimed about himself. I'm nothing but sin. I am the sinner. I don't have anything to recommend me to you. Do something about my sin. Be merciful to me. Be propitious to me is what the word is. Be a sin-removing sacrifice for me because I can't do anything about my sin. I am the sinner. Now these are the two representative men. The one who believed himself to be righteous and the one who saw himself to be nothing but sin. I repeat, these are the two representative men. The righteous and the wicked. And let me give you something to think about. The righteous all believe themselves to be wicked, like this publican. And the wicked all believe themselves to be righteous, like this Pharisee, or at least had the potential to be righteous. Now, look what the Lord says in verse 14. I tell you, this man who was a self-confessed sinner, went down to his house justified. Now, you know what that means? He went down to his house perfectly righteous, having never sinned, perfect in God's sight. He went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalts himself shall be abased, and he that humbles himself shall be exalted. Man, sinful. The man, the only way a man can approach God. Two men. You're one of these two men. I'm one of these two men. Now we have this message on DVD and CD. If you call the church right, we'll send you a copy. This is Todd Niver praying that God will be pleased to make himself known to you. That's our prayer. Amen.
To receive a copy of the sermon you have just heard, send your request to todd.niver@gmail.com. Or you may write or call the church at the information provided on the screen.